Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Prayer is a vital part of the Christian life. It is a way to show our praise to God and a means by which we communicate our deepest thoughts in order to enter into relationship with Him. What steps do we need to take to develop an active prayer life that enables us to offer personal and powerful prayers to our Creator? Today, I am pleased to introduce not one, but three guests who have worked together to create a blog that helps answer that very question. Elton Striley, Allie Booth, and Noah Booth collaborate to maintain the blog entitled Time with Our Creator. Elton, a Christian for 44 years, has served as a Sunday school teacher, chairman of his church board, and the chairman of Maranatha Bible Camp. He has also served on the board of a local Christian radio station. Elton writes prayers for his church bulletin and has spent 31 years reading about and researching the art of prayer. He is responsible for writing the prayers and choosing the scripture verses and quotes that are posted on the Time with Our Creator blog. His grandchildren, Allie and Noah, design and maintain the blog with Elton. Allie, a Christian for 14 years, is a self-taught photographer who provides the photographs featured on the blog, edits the prayers, and keeps the blog up and running. Noah, a Christian for 13 years, assists Elton with writing the prayers and brainstorming new ideas for the blog. Welcome to the show, Elton, Allie, and Noah. Welcome to the show, Elton, Allie, and Noah.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
I'm sorry, I failed to turn on your mics. So if you said anything, I didn't hear it, and that's my fault. I apologize. And I'm not used to turning on three either.
That's okay.
So as long as we're all still hearing each other, we're good. So Elton and Allie and Noah, I realize you're from right here in Colorado. Elton, yeah, you live
in
another state.
Yes, I'm from Nebraska.
Okay, so you're kind of a neighbor. Well, it's a real pleasure to have all three of you here today, and I'm so excited that we were able to actually coordinate four of us on one phone call. That's the cool thing about today's technology. Well, I have looked at your blog, and Allie, I believe it was you that I met at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference, right?
Yeah, so my grandma and I are actually both there.
Okay, yeah, and Elton, I was pretty sure I met you, but then I wasn't positive because it's been a while since I was there, and I met so many people over there, but anyway, I've looked at your blog quite a bit, and I'd like to know, Allie, what motivated you guys to develop the Time with Our Creator blog?
All right, so my grandpa asked me to edit the prayers that he writes for his church bulletin a couple years ago, so I've been doing that for a while, and then I had a project that I needed to do for school, so I put the prayers into a book form for that project, and then I gave my grandpa the book for Christmas. It was really, really well received by him and then everyone that he shared it with, so we decided to make the blog in the summer of 2016 so that more people would be able to access the prayers, and we just really wanted to use it to encourage people to add variety into the way they pray and really emphasize the importance of prayer in the Christian life.
Oh, how nice. And I believe, didn't I see a copy of that book at the conference?
Yes, you did.
I thought, okay, you know, that was in the back of my mind, and then I thought, well, maybe not. But, yeah, I thought I had seen your book. So is your book actually able to be purchased then through, like,
not
online?
Not as of yet.
Oh, not as yet, but it's going to be someday, I bet. Okay.
Well, we'll see.
That's what the Lord has planned, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Elton and Noah, could you tell us then what is the purpose and objective of this blog?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start that off. Really, the main purpose is to help people develop their spiritual lives all through the use of Scripture. So Everything on the blog is meant to point people towards a more meaningful prayer life. And the end goal is to give people the tools and also the resources to better connect with the Lord on a day-to-day basis.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'll add a little to that. I think that many of us have problems when we pray by repeating the same thing over and over and over. So one of our objectives in our blog is to help people to be able to expand their prayer life through using Scripture. And so that's why, and we'll talk about some of those prayers in a little bit, but every one of our prayers we put on, and we're close to 70, have a different theme. And so that's one of our main objectives, is to expand people's prayer life.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem that I tend to have. I know that when I pray, I almost feel, what's the word, kind of guilty if I don't mention somebody, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh, man, you know, I forgot to mention Aunt B or whoever, which I really don't have any very many aunts that are living anymore. But, I mean, you know, I have the habit of going through this list of my immediate family members and then extended family members, and then I'll think of people who have, like, recently lost loved ones or people that I know that are ill or whatever, you know, and later I get to thinking, oh man, I forgot to mention this person, and I don't think that's the way that, I really don't think God expects us to go down this kind of checklist that you could literally have in front of you, you know?
Right. I think sometimes we get into that habit, we could record the prayer one day and play it back the next day and pretty much be the same. So that's what we're trying to get away from.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. And I have heard it said that you should be able to speak to our Creator just the same way you would sit down and talk to your spouse or your brother or your friend or whatever, and express your concerns and your fears and your thankfulness and all of these things. But somehow it's not that easy to do. So perhaps mm-hmm. your blog is a huge step to help people towards that. So when visitors, of course, I've been to the blog, but I'm going to act like I haven't been. So when visitors go to the blog, what are they going to find there?
Well, I'll just go through the whole thing, and then I'll have Allie and Noah comment some more at the end here. But what people will find, we have a welcome, we have a little about us, how to use prayers, how to use our prayers, suggestions on how to use Scripture when praying. For example, we have this one on there. If two people are praying, somebody might want to try that. You take a psalm, and one person reads one verse and then prays whatever God leads them when they read that verse, and then the next person reads another verse, and then that person prays whatever God led him on that. So basically what you've got, rather than two people, you've got three people involved. God is the third one, because every time you read a verse, it's God speaking. So that's one of the things we have on there. Then we have an additional category. It's like we have a tab on the plan of salvation, because, again, as we all know, that has to be first in order for anything else to work. And we have some actual prayers that we have written, and we've written them in such a way that if a person takes those prayers and prays them, you can make them your own. You put your own name in there, and it actually comes out to be your prayer. And as I said earlier, we have around 70 different themes that we've used. We even had a prayer on there on the eclipse a while back. So
oh, wow.
Here are a few other titles that people have really liked. We have one, praying for your children and your grandchildren, God's comfort, God is our shepherd, contentment, God is our refuge and fortress, and many more. And they are all listed on an index, so people can actually go in and get whatever prayer they want to use. Then we have some different methods of prayer as well. I'll just give an example. On that one, you focus on reading some scriptures on God's attributes before praying, then apply those scriptures to your situation. For example, God is all-knowing, Psalm 119, 1 through 6. God is all-powerful, Jeremiah 32, 17. God is everywhere present, Psalm 139. God is unchanging, Hebrews 13, 8. And again, the purpose of that is to set our mind on that we're praying to a God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, unchanging. Then in this same category, we have one where how to use scriptures if you're having trouble with negative or destructive thoughts. And I've found by using Galatians 2:20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what we suggest there, if you have a negative thought that keeps haunting you, repeat that verse until that goes away, and it will, because you're talking about being crucified with Christ. Then we also have a section of quotes on prayer, and I'll just give one. We have one by Charles Spurgeon, as an example, where he said, we should pray when we are in a praying mood, for it would be a sin to neglect so great an opportunity. We should pray when we are not in a praying mood, because it is very dangerous to remain in such an unhealthy condition. Then we put on another section, a number of scriptures to read before praying that will help us to get our mind off of the problem on God. Then we added this section a little bit later. These are what we call miniature prayers. And this came about because of Twitter. As you probably know, on Twitter, you can only have 280 characters.
Yep, and
what
at one time it was only 140.
Take a
verse that made it even worse.
And put it into the form of a prayer and put two of these on Twitter every week. Then we take six of them and put them on a page and then put them on the blog every so often. And I'll just give an example of one of those really short prayers. And we've had really good response on Twitter. Seems like people really like these short prayers. Example would be living a spirit-controlled life. The prayer would go something like this. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name to ask you to enable me daily to follow Galatians 5:16. That says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And these prayers, every one of those prayers, has a scripture in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have some prayer exercises that a person can do. One of those, I'll give you the example, is an exercise for believers to deal with confession, forgiveness, and repentance of sin. This exercise has 20 verses on it that talk about different kinds of sin. So after the verse, then there are two or three questions to answer. And any yes answers, then we need to deal with those according to 1 John 1:9. And I'll just give one example of that. Let's say Colossians 3:13, which reads, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Well, then the question after this, have you failed to forgive anybody anything they have said or done against you? Are you holding grudges? So if those answers are yes, then you need to take care of that. And I would suggest printing those out and doing one a day, because if you do 20, mm-hmm. it can get pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I would like to ask Noah to comment on why this exercise is so important. And then our last one is some testimonies, and I'll let Ellie handle that one.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, so just what Grandpa was talking about there, the importance of cleansing yourself before the Lord or before entering into his presence is really important. Asking for forgiveness is a precursor to a true connection with God. So in Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that makes it pretty clear, you know, the importance of cleansing yourself before coming to the Lord in prayer.
Is paramount.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, I don't know if I do it right, but I know when I pray, the first thing I usually do is thankfulness for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing I always do is ask for forgiveness, because I have always kind of felt like if you don't ask for that forgiveness and there is sin, which is a barrier between you and God, then he's not going to hear anything you say after that.
Exactly. Yep.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it definitely puts you into a mood of prayer as well. But like you said, the thankfulness for the day automatically puts you in a mood ready for prayer, ready for Thanksgiving in that prayer time. So, yeah, both of those things are very critical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to talk to you guys about, especially, well, any of the three of you, but Elton, I know you say you have studied the art of prayer for years and years. What is your feeling about praying when you are angry at God over a situation that has occurred? How do you handle
could
that?
Could I have Allie respond first on the testimonies so we don't forget that?
I'm sorry. Absolutely. Go ahead, Allie. I apologize.
No problem.
That's okay. So with the testimonies, they're kind of like interviews with believers, like about their life stories and how prayer has really impacted them. I think it's really encouraging to be able to hear the stories of other Christians and how God has worked in their lives through prayer. And I think it can be a good way to motivate us to really get dig deep into prayer ourselves. So we currently only have two on the blog. We're looking to get some more up soon, hopefully. So the one of them is an interview we did with a lady who is 105 years old.
Oh, my.
Kind of just about how prayer is. Yeah, she was actually pretty sharp for her age. So that was a really fun conversation. But we mostly just talked about, like, how prayer has shaped her life and her relationship with Christ and, like, advice that she has for other people who are really seeking to have a strong relationship with God. And then the second interview that we did is with a woman who went through a divorce and kind of how God was able to strengthen her and her relationship with him through that really difficult situation and how she used prayer to kind of support herself through that. So.
Very neat.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, and testimony is so important because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they say, when you are trying to lead someone to Christ, sometimes the best way to do that is to just tell your own story
exactly.
of what,
right. yeah.
what God has done in your life and how he has changed your life for the better. So, yeah, that sounds like you follow that theme very well on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have you repeat the question that you had for me.
Okay, Elton. Yeah, what I would like to discuss, Elton, is, or any of the three of you, how do you handle going to God when you are angry at him about something that has happened that you feel is unfair or whatever, whether it be a failed marriage or the death of a young person or something like that?
Well, I think there is actually only one answer, and it's probably found in Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your minds on things above, not on things of this earth. And so I believe the best way is to immerse ourselves with Scripture and for example, it depends on what the situation is, but I always like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'll just explain how I would pray that. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not in thine own understanding.
Yes.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, I think when we pray that, a person can say, now, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I don't want to depend on my own, and I acknowledge you, and I'm looking forward to you to direct my path. Then there's another one that's Jeremiah 33:3. I try to use quite often, especially if it's something that's very difficult, where it says, call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you haven't even thought of. And that's usually the situation if we have something that we've never gone through before. So if we do that, then that verse reminds us to call upon him. Or another example would be what you were talking about, anger. Usually if there's anger involved, then there'll be some feelings of revenge, vengeance. Well, a good verse for that one is Romans 12:9, where God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the easiest way to get rid of anger feelings or feelings of revenge or wanting to give revenge is just to say, Lord, you have promised here that you are going to take care of it, so I'm going to give it to you. Then I think another area to get over the fear or anger, excuse me, would be to use music. I believe music is a tremendous asset to change our attitude, to change our mind. And just a few songs that I think about would be, and they should be really be songs of worship. Be pretty tough to stay angry if you sing the song or listen to the song, I Love You, Lord. Or
mm-hmm.
There's another one, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh
yes.
on me. And any song that leads you to talk to God. Or Open My Eyes, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. This is based on Psalm 119:19.
Mm-hmm.
So in that one, you're actually using the music and the scripture, but and just one other thought on that. Sometimes I believe, you know, if it's hard to get out of that mode of thinking, it's even good if you're using music to turn it up good and loud. And I just use as an illustration, sometimes when you're driving down the street, you'll see somebody come by you, and they got their music cranked up as loud as they can do it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to cover up something. Well, I think by turning up the music loud, that kind of drives out the negative feeling. So I hope those are some things that might help people to realize that we have those tools. And I know myself, every once in a while, I have done that, like when I was driving my car coming home from work. I really turn up the music to drive out all the problems of the day. And then
right.
turn the car off, and the next morning get in and turn it on. I couldn't believe how loud I had the music turned up. But it did the trick for me. So that's
yeah.
just some suggestions.
Well, Elton, the suggestion of the music is an excellent one, because I listen to a Christian radio station out here out of Colorado Springs. And they have the capability to listen to it on the internet. And I listen to it via the little TuneIn app on my phone. And at night, when I go to bed, that station, I listen to that station on that TuneIn app. And if there's any negative feelings from the day, they kind of dissolve with that music. I just leave the station on all night long on my phone. And you know, if I'm going to bed with any negative feelings about someone or about something that I did or didn't do or whatever, after just a short time, I'm in a state of peace just listening yeah. to that music. So
okay.
I absolutely understand what you're saying there.
I'll share one other thing that Noah and I do. He just started it, but I got myself an alarm clock that plays 5 different hymns, parts of the hymn.
Oh, wow.
And so I set that in the morning for about a half an hour or 15 minutes before I get up. And then that goes off, and I let that play about 3 or 4 times. And it's amazing to me how long that song rings in my heart and my mind after I get out of bed. So I don't know, Noah, what's been your experience? I just got Noah one of these for Christmas.
Yeah, I've found it really nice. It definitely starts your day off well. It starts you off in the right mood and the right attitude. And I find myself kind of humming the song throughout the day, the hymn. So it's definitely nice. And another thing to add on that anger part, I was just thinking about this while Grandpa was talking. It's so important to address that anger immediately when it happens and not let it fester. I think sometimes we're used to getting up, praying in the morning, going throughout our day, and then if something makes us angry or if we're something goes wrong, we just leave that and it festers until the end of the day. I think it's really important to, right when that happens, ask God for forgiveness, ask Him for grace and for His mercy, and to praise Him immediately when that happens. Because the longer you let that sit there, the more it's gonna affect you. So, just another idea on that anger piece and how to pray when you are angry. Just do it immediately. So,
yeah,
exactly.
Along with that, that's where I think the miniature prayers come in handy. And I've had a few people tell me this. You know, you can go in and print those off, and there's six of them on there, and put them on. I've had some people put them on a little card, and they keep them on their mirror or keep them in their purse, or if you're at work, and you can have, you know, it tells us in Thessalonians we should have the attitude of prayer all the time. These miniature prayers will many times take you from your major prayer time in the morning till you can get back to it again at night, you know, and you can have those in your purse or wherever. And it just keeps your mind on the Lord. I think that is actually more critical if we can stay ahead of it, keep our mind on the Lord, so that if something does happen, we're not all bent out of shape. Or if an emergency comes up, you can pull up one of those scripture verses and read it and rely upon it.
Well, I don't know if this is proper advice or not, but I have given people advice when they're in a situation where there's deep hurt, loss, a lot of anger over that. I have advised people to be honest with God, because He knows how you're feeling. So instead of hiding it and saying, oh, it's okay, everything's beautiful, well, in your mind at the time, it's not. And I think it's very important that we be honest with God and let Him know how we're feeling. And that way He can work on our hearts to bring us the peace and the comfort that we need. Because I think if we don't acknowledge that it's hard for Him to do what He needs to do.
Right.
To make us feel better. Does that make any sense?
Yes. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So, He's got it to help us. And then even in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he wants us to come. He invites us to come. So I guess really in one respect, many times we're foolish if we suffer along when He has invited us to come, bring our prayer, bring our concerns to Him, and let Him take care of it.
Yeah.
But I know that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at this point, Allie and Noah and Elton, I'm going to take what I call a short break here and just make listeners aware. We have listeners that come in the middle of the show, and they might like to know what they're listening to. So, listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light. I have three guests today, which is highly unusual, and this is really kind of cool. My three guests are Elton Striley and his two grandchildren, Allie and Noah Booth. All three of them collaborate together to create to maintain a blog entitled Time with Our Creator. It is comprised of many different prayers and also some photography, which we'll talk about in a minute, to go along with the prayers. And we've been talking about how the blog was was formed and the motivation behind it and what the goal is of the blog. I would like to encourage listeners, if you did come in the middle of the show, we do have this show on archive. You will find it on my website at pattishene.com. The blog of Allie and Noah and Elton can be found at Time with Our Creator. It is a WordPress blog, so it's timewithourcreator.wordpress.com. But you don't have to remember that, because if you go to my website and click on the Blog Talk Radio tab, you will find a list of this show and all of our shows. And in the more, I think it's called More Information tab, you will find that link and also a link to their Twitter account. And they were just explaining that sometimes they put some short prayers on Twitter too, which is really, really pretty neat. I also want to make listeners aware that any show that we have recorded is available on that website. So I hope that you will come and visit us, and definitely visit the Time with Our Creator blog. It will be well worth your time. So now we'll get back to the interview here. Allie, you are the person who is a self-made, self-educated photographer.
Yeah.
And you contribute the photographs to the blog. What kind of photographs do you like to do?
So I mostly do nature pictures, a lot of flowers.
I've noticed a few flowers
and,
on
there. Landscapes. Yes. Definitely a lot of that. So that's like my main focus, I think.
Is there anything special that you have learned? I'm an amateur photographer with my little iPhone here.
Mm-hmm.
Any tips you have for folks to make your photos special, Allie?
So what I've learned is you don't really need the fanciest camera or like the best photo editing software to take really good pictures. It's more just like the things that you notice that other people might not see. Something I really look for is color and lighting in different photos that I'm taking, and I really like doing pictures right before sunset, which is kind of a cliche tip, but it's a really good one because the light's very pretty and like almost golden around that time, so the pictures usually turn out pretty good if you take them around then. And then I don't really do a whole lot of photo editing either. I don't think it's necessary really to take a good picture to have to edit it a lot. The most I'll do is I'll just like bump up saturation or contrast to make the colors a little more like pop a little bit more, but usually I just try to make the end product look as close to real life as possible. So,
why don't you share a little too, Allie, about how you think it enhances the purpose and the messages of our prayer?
Mm-hmm. So I think the photos on the blog serve a lot of different purposes. So one of the purposes is just obviously like catching the eye of readers and making our prayers and posts stand out. But I think the most important purpose of having the photos on the blog is helping readers get into a worshipful state of mind. I think that nature is a really great reminder of God's presence and his power. And I think that being able to look at his creation while praying helps remind us of the fact that we are praying to our Creator and just all of the power and majesty that he has.
Well, one of the things I noticed when looking over your blog is some of the, I would call it extreme detail that you do. Like, I believe I saw one picture that was like dewdrops on a leaf, like raindrops on a leaf, you know? I mean, it just focuses right in on the intensity of nature, which I thought was just really, really cool. I will, if you don't mind, I'll share with you guys a kind of a comical story. My daughter-in-law likes to do photography as well, and they have pages and pages on their of a website of all these photos. Well, they live over in the United Kingdom now. And my son got a call one day that this lady from Germany, from some German magazine, was interested in one of the photos on my daughter-in-law's website, wanted it for a magazine. So it was like, wow, you know, they were all excited. And when she got home, she called this lady back, and they were kind of speculating, well, which photo do you think has caught this person's, you know, attention? Well, the comical thing was, I have a dog. He's a husky, And one day she was here and she was just messing around and she took like a really, really close up of his eye. And that's the picture they bought for the magazine. They paid her like 250 pounds for that picture.
Wow.
And she put it on Facebook when it came out in the magazine, but the funny thing was the magazine was all in German, so we couldn't read the article. No idea what the article was about, but it was like, you know, of all the photographs she's taken, they wanted that picture of that dog's eye. It was just kind of comical, but it's almost, on the other hand, a case in point that it was just an extreme detailed photo, you know, and maybe that's what people look for. But oh, goodness. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you guys.
Yeah.
Allie, how do you guys advertise the blog? How do you get the word out about it? And do you have any way of tracking your outreach? Do you have any idea how many hits you get on it? Do you keep track of the numbers, or don't you really care?
So we actually advertise the blog quite a bit. So we have business cards that we hand out in both Spanish and English.
Cool.
And then obviously we've kind of talked about the Twitter account. So we post prayers on there, and then we'll post like links to our longer prayers on the blog. So we currently have over 5,000 Twitter followers, and then we have 150 people following our actual blog. So it's been viewed almost 10,000 times in over 70 different countries, and we've had almost 5,000 unique people come visit our blog and look at the prayers that are on there. So our prayers are also featured in a lot of different Christian publications. So we have a prayer that comes out in Valley Christian Magazine, which is on the Texas and Mexico border on every issue. And then the Cross Times newspaper in Scottsbluff, Nebraska also regularly prints our prayers. We've done two different radio interviews for KCMI, which is a radio station in Scottsbluff, Nebraska as well. And they also regularly read our prayers on air. So that's a really cool way to get the word out. And then we've also done one interview for a radio station in Colorado. And so obviously now we're doing this one. So
awesome. Well, it sounds like I need some marketing tips from you guys. Sounds like
he's the marketer of the group.
Might just mention something on the cards that we hand out. I've handed out a lot of them, and it's been amazing to me the reception that we've gotten, especially the generation 40 and under. Very seldom will they not take a card or turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the response is, cool, awesome. And then they say, God bless you, you know, for giving this to me. And this is kind of a humorous one, but I've had this happen a few times. One time I was in at McDonald's, and there was a couple there, standing there, and I didn't really know if I should give them one, but I did anyway. I gave the lady a card. She literally ran over to me and gave me a big hug and said, you don't know how much I needed this today. And
aww.
I've had that happen so many times. People say, you know, you must have been sent by God to give me this card because this is exactly what I need. So people are searching, and God is really using it. So we've really been blessed by that.
Wow, I guess so. Well, that is amazing. Yeah, I have a whole stack of cards, too, in my drawer for the show that I guess maybe I should, you know, start being more aggressive about giving them out. I just don't think about it as often as I should, you know.
Well,
other
thing we're doing, too, there's quite a few places, you know, that are owned by Christian business people.
Yes.
And I've asked a number of them, you know, can we put some cards over? Oh, yes, put them right over here by the cash register. So, and then I was in Texas this winter at a Bible camp, and I've got about five or six people there that said, well, give me cards. I'll hand them out. So they're going out all over the place. So God is really using it. And I want to just make one. I said the 40 and under, but I realized this winter that actually older people probably have as much or as hard a time praying as younger people because, and I'm an example of that, because I am an older person, it gets harder and harder to put prayers together. And so I found that the older people are actually receptive to it because they then can just go to the blog and read a prayer and make it their own. So that God is really using it in many different ways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I was going to ask Noah, because I have a note here that Noah kind of chooses the themes for the blogs and composes the prayers somewhat to coincide with those themes. Noah, I think you probably have the hardest job of all coming up with new ideas. What do you feel about that?
No, it's actually a lot of fun. There's, it's just really enjoyable to come up with different ideas. I'll kind of walk you through the process a little bit of how that walks down. So the first part is just obviously, like we were talking about, pick the theme and the overarching idea for that specific prayer. And inspiration for those topics can really come from anywhere. They come from a lot of different places, but more often than not, they'll come from me and Grandpa's own personal prayer lives, or just when we're reading through the scriptures, just ideas or things that stick out to us. And we do also have some specialty ones, like we'll put out some specialty prayers for Easter or for Christmas, that sort of thing. But oftentimes they're just topics that come up in our own personal lives. And from there, me and Grandpa will come up with ideas on the topic on our own and kind of write like a preliminary prayer. And then after a couple of days, we'll go ahead and send each other our ideas and combine them into one final cohesive prayer. And then that'll go off to Allie for editing, any final revisions. And then it gets put on the blog after that.
Oh, very good. And who actually does the posting on the blog? Do all three of you share in that, or does just one of you do that?
That's all Allie.
Okay.
Yeah, Noah and I do the writing and putting it together, and then she edits everything and puts it all on the blog.
Okay, so you're the writer, huh, Allie? Well, you're all writers, but you're the final say, huh?
We have to always get it by her.
Oh, that's great. And yeah, you know, I love keeping my blog up too. I've got two blogs on my website, but man, sometimes it's just time consuming, you know, to get everything to where it looks just right and all that. And that can be a hard part of it. Do you have a specific schedule to where you post, or do you just kind of post as you get the idea? Like, is it like, you know, every Tuesday we'll know there's going to be something new, or not necessarily?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a new post every Friday. We usually put it on really early in the morning. Every Friday morning we'll have a new one up.
Oh, very good.
What we do there, she puts it on the blog, comes up about 4:30 on Friday mornings. But then I take it and put it on our Facebook and then also sometimes on Twitter. And we found, and this has been a real blessing to me, I found on Facebook that we've had some of our prayers, you know, on Facebook it'll show how many people actually take them and pass them on. We've
share
had
them.
As high
yeah.
as 50 or 60 of them that have been passed on. So we have no idea how far they really reach.
No, you don't. You don't have any idea about that, Elton. And that's kind of the neat thing about ministry in a way. You just never know whose hearts are touched.
Yep.
So. Well, I'd like to ask you three, you know, coming up with a blog on your own is difficult enough, but three of you collaborating together, of course, the premise of this show is Step Into the Light, and you three obviously bring light to the lives of many other people with your wonderful blog. But has there ever been a time when you have experienced disappointment, discouragement? Three of you trying to collaborate together can probably be kind of tough. Was there ever a problem with that you just felt like, man, is this really what God wants us to be doing?
Well, I would say, as your question about some of the advantage or like a drawback of the three of us working together, I really wouldn't say there's any drawbacks. I think we work really well together.
Uh-huh.
And obviously we're all family, so I mean we see each other in person a lot, and our personalities really mesh well together. And as for difficult times, I would just say, I guess throughout the whole thing, always having to rely on God. A lot of times I think in some of these things, it can start to feel like our blog, like, oh, we're doing the work and we're doing this and that. But that's really not how it is at all. I think that'll only get tougher as the numbers grow. But that's just been one thing we've really had to focus on is letting this be the Lord's blog, letting the Lord control us and work through us instead of us trying to take things over. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of pride tends to get in the way sometimes. Like, look what
exactly.
I did. And wait a minute, it ain't me at all.
Yeah. And pride is a dangerous thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I've found numerous times when I've gotten, thinking, boy, this is really pretty hard, a lot of hard work. But then, you look at Facebook or Twitter and you get somebody that writes something and tells you how they were blessed by it. I guess we better keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was going to ask. You said you have had quite a bit of feedback from people, and that's always an encouragement.
Right. Well, I'll just share a few that come to my mind. Think of one lady who's a friend of ours. She told me one time that she was had just put her husband in the nursing home. And she was really discouraged and really down and thinking, am I going to have to live this way? And just right that particular week, our prayer on contentment came out. And she said it was just exactly what she needed. And for about three, 4 weeks, every time we talked to her, she brought that up, how that lifted her up, that, hey, I can get through this.
Yeah.
Then another one. Example, a number of people are using them during or after a crisis to get back into praying. If you lose a loved one or somebody, even yourself, if you're very sick, sometimes you can be so sick you can hardly pray.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've really lost a loved one, you just don't feel like praying. And I've had a number of people that have told me that it has really been helpful for them to be able to go in on the blog and pick out some prayers and praying. And I've had a number of widows tell me that that's the first thing they do in the morning is they go in there and pick out the prayer. Then another one is had a 91-year-old man, my neighbor, who said he uses the prayer as a guide in his praying. And that's really what we want. And that's the whole objective, is people would use it and make it their prayer. And the last one I'll just mention, as parents or grandparents, a lot of times there's difficulty in the family. And I've had a number of parents and grandparents tell me that they've gone in and used the prayer that we have for grandparents to pray for their grandchildren or their children.
Yes.
And just actually prayed that complete prayer for their children. So that's been helpful. Then lastly, and this is kind of what we were talking about saying the same thing over and over. Just a few months ago, I had a retired missionary tell me that he still preaches at a campground, but he said, I got to thinking after reading all this information, I pray the same thing every Sunday. And he told me three times, he said, I just thought to myself, I can do better than that. I can do better than that. And so he writes out, he thinks about his prayers and writes them out. And so he's really been blessed by being able to get some ideas to make his prayers more effective. So
very good.
Had good feedback.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, and it's nice when you get the feedback, because I know here with the show I very seldom get much at all. And just when I begin to think maybe God really doesn't want me to be doing this, that's when I'll either get an email from somebody saying, I listened to your show and I would really love to be on it, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay, that's God's way of saying somebody out there is being reached, so stick with it. And I'm glad that you guys are getting the feedback, because that is an extremely nice encouragement.
You have to be careful, like on Facebook or on any of it, that we don't do it to see how many likes we get. But we also have to be realistic. When people respond, it sure makes it a lot easier to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My main reason for tracking numbers, really, the little bit that I do it, is to just kind of get a feel for what days of the week do you have the most people listening, what kind of subjects seem to draw the most interest, you know, things like that. Yeah, I try not to get into the the kind of the race type thing of, you know, is my blog or my show better than somebody else's? I don't want that at all. And that's why at the beginning of every show, I always go to prayer with my guests that, hey, you know, it's up to God. He knows who needs to hear this message and when they need to hear it. So let's just leave it all up in his hands, you know?
Well, and you're right. That does tell you what people really like. And I've noticed even on our blog, the people really like the prayers that talk about God's love. They're looking for comfort, you know. And so we try to write quite a few along that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes for me, it depends on what kind of a advertisement I put out there as to how I word things, as to what the show is going to be about, you know. So, yeah, I kind of struggle
with
that.
I'd like to have Noah share one more thing as to why it's important to integrate prayer with Scripture. He's done some thinking on that.
Okay, Noah, you're up.
Okay. Well, obviously, Scripture has a lot of power. It just has an innate power to it like nothing else does. You know, it's the inspired word of God, and it just adds a layer of meaning and depth that can only be used through the use of Scripture. And I think sometimes we almost try too hard to come up with these prayers or these thoughts to God. And I mean, the perfect prayers and the perfect thoughts are already written down, and, you know, they're already in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's so many examples of strong Christian people who have cried out to God and examples of that in the Bible that we should use and that we can use. So I think Scripture is definitely an important part of anyone's prayer life.
Yeah, and, you know, there are hundreds of prayers in the Bible and hundreds of answers to prayer. So they can be a real encouragement if you read the prayer that the person in the Bible prayed and then also how God answered it. And
yes.
I think it's an encouragement. Well, if he did it then, why wouldn't he do it now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always enjoyed the common book is the Psalms, you know, for prayer. And I always enjoyed the prayers of David, and not necessarily just the praise prayers, but the prayers of when he was just in such a state of despair and guilt, you know, and how he just cried out to God, and there's just so much intensity to the Psalms, I think, that I've always gotten a great deal of meaning out of that particular book. But of course there's many other examples as well.
And many, I think too, if we read the Psalms especially, and even in Proverbs, but a lot of other verses, there's a lot of promises.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes it more effective if we can read a promise and then claim that promise. You know,
yes.
For example, Matthew 19:26 says, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Well, if I look at a situation, this looks impossible. But God is telling me that with him, it's not impossible. With him, it is possible. So encourages you to go ahead and pray.
Well, I just finished reading. I'm reading through the Bible again like, you know, I always try to do it in a year and I never get it read in a year, which really doesn't matter. But each time I do read it through, I try to read a different version. Right now I happen to be reading a large print version that my mom left me when she passed away. But anyway, I just finished reading the book of Daniel, and I happened to find a book that I had ordered, heaven knows when, about Daniel. So I thought, okay, I'll read through this book, you know, concurrently. And one of my favorite verses from Daniel is when he says, no one can do this, but there is a God in heaven.
Right.
Who, you know, he can do the impossible. And that is such a strong, strong verse for us to claim. So, and of course, they went into great depth about that in the book. You know, it was pretty interesting.
And it's one of our prayers and hopes for our blog that people would be encouraged to pray, you know, by looking at some of ours and making them their own.
Definitely. Well, you guys have done a wonderful job. Like I say, I've looked it over, and I will continue to research it and to use it as a reference for myself, because I can surely stand to improve my prayer life. Is there anything that you guys would like to add before we close out the show? Anything that I failed to mention that you're like, oh man, we really need to talk about this before we go?
Well, I think we pretty much covered everything, but we really want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate you allowing us to share with you, and also share it with your listeners. And it's our prayer that many people will be blessed by what we have put on the blog.
Well, I'm sure they will be, Elton, and all three of you, Elton, Noah, and Allie. I want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us today and getting things coordinated to where we could all three visit at once. This was really cool, and it worked out well. And
yes. And
I want to thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you in this wonderful ministry that you have.
Yes. And God bless you and your ministry as well.
Thank you. And if by chance the book becomes available, please let me know, and I will do my best to advertise it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. God bless you guys. Take care.
Same to you.
Thank you.
To our listeners, in closing today, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as you remembered at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you for joining us today. We ask that you will please go to timewithourcreator.wordpress.com and check out the blog there. And also be sure to go to pattysheene.com, pattysheene.com, where you can learn about all of our shows and listen to our shows and listen to this one again or refer friends or family to it. And until next week, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings